I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. This is a time to let your Spirit sing. We worship you, Lord. Shandala mikai andoroli kai. Frondoro mikai andoroli kai. Frondoro mikai andoro mandali ki. Frandara marondari quai kai andore. Pondala ma quai andoro marando. Scendile mi quai kai andoro. Andara di quai kai andoro li quai. Frandolo mi quai kai andoro di quai. Ori andoro mi quai kai andoro. Andoro di quai, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Ori andire di kai kai ando mi shi kai. Brendere loro oro chi. Landoro ma. Ori andere li kai kai andoro ma. Prendere lo cuore andero lo comi. We worship you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We sing with our spirit and we worship you. Randara mi quai kai andoro mi quai kai andara di kai. Froro marandoro riandara mi quai kai andar. Hai andara di kai kai andoro lo breka mi. Frandoro mi quai kai andoro mi. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love your presence, Lord. We love your presence, Lord. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Ora me la tariki, sharamore ki a tarabuquai. Frora me rinderi quai kayondari. I'm sorry, I'm just not going to leave this presence for a moment. I'm not sorry either, because I'm going to lie in church. Frora marandari quai, o la 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 ki. Ora marandarosi. Stacy, lead with your voice so I don't have to with mine.
Karama urena sitia. We worship you, O God. We worship you. We love you.
Your presence, Lord. We love your presence. We love your presence. Let us live in your presence all the time. Let us live in this presence. Frora mi kai kayando. Frora shi kai kayando mi kai kayando. Señor amigo. Some are watching and saying, well, this is strange. I've never seen this before. What the church today calls strange, my early church called normal. And you will see more unusual things than this as my spirit takes over the services and brings the mind of my Father to fruition right before your eyes. Think not these things are strange. I'm laughing because I saw a picture. What he thinks is strange is churches that don't do this. Now, he loves them. I don't mean to. He loves them. But we're moving into a new era. We're moving into the end of the end times. Where the Father once again is going to have His way. He'll be doing the works through you. Well, you can be seated. I've been reading about Azusa Street again. And one of the things that really stood out, or so many things that stood out, but they would have singing in the spirit just almost begin spontaneously. And I never know how much is edited off of the message, but in our worship today, right near the end of it, Stacy began singing in the spirit. Worship leader Stacy. And what was interesting, right before she started doing that, the mind of Christ was dropping in me, like if they didn't do that, I was going to ask them to continue playing and I was going to do it. But see, our worship leader hears God, you know. Started singing in the spirit and I joined in. Now, see, I think one of the reasons that he's doing this when I'm here, that way you're forced to hear me sing. And after you hear me sing, you know, you have no excuses. You have no excuses. If he'll receive my singing in the spirit, he'll receive your singing in the spirit. And if you couldn't feel that presence that come in, it was really there through the whole worship, but to me it intensified as we worshiped him in spirit. And it is scripture, I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. I will pray in the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. And we're headed for what the term he's given me is just, we're headed for Jesus meetings. Exactly the kind that he did on planet Earth while he was here, because he's still here. He's just here in a different way now. He's here through us. But when I say this, I don't mean he doesn't love the church. He loves anywhere they're preaching Jesus and preaching the cross, okay? And being born again. But I think he attends many of the services and goes, I don't recognize that. That's not a Jesus meeting. That's not the kind that I run, where my Father never gets to work, where the Holy Spirit never gets to move. So try not to be offended if that is the first time for you, if you've never seen anything like that before. You're going to see a lot stranger things than that. And we're all okay with that. How many is okay with that? I'm totally okay with that. Again, Azusa Street. Sometimes that singing in the spirit would break out and it would go on for hours. And I said, it was especially, not exclusively to those times, but especially during those times is when the fire department would show up. Because people just walking down the street, or they would see, to them, the building was on fire. They saw flames coming from the top of the church and they'd call the fire department. But of course, it wasn't real flames. It was spiritual flames. It's manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And again, that glory cloud, it wasn't there. Some people said they saw it all the time, and maybe they did. But all of the people saw it some of the time. And they said it would come in and it'd just be so, like, sometimes it'd be like a fog. Sometimes it would be more stronger than that and hover about, you know, like a fog. If we had a fog layer like 3 feet down here, you know, from the floor up about 3 feet. And the kids loved to play hide and seek in it. Yeah, they'd go, said they'd run into it and you'd see it swirl. God, give us some of that. I'll go play hide and seek in it. Praise God. Well, his mind hasn't changed. By the way, it's good to be back. It was not COVID-19. I got tested. Sue got sick about 2 or 3 days after me, and she's about 2 or 3 days behind me in recovery. She almost came today, but we're back at full strength here really quick. Thank you for your love and your prayers, and even around the world. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, picking up where I left off a few weeks ago, we're going to continue on with the name of Jesus, because he keeps showing me a little bit more about this. Because we have to understand when we go into warfare, really who we are, where we're from, why we're here, who has the authority, who does not have the authority. Who has the power, who does not have the power. So I myself have taught many messages, and I've heard many messages taught about the power in the name of Jesus. How many know there's power in the name of Jesus? And because of his obedience, who humbled himself and became in fashion as a man, and then humbled himself even more, even to the obedience of the cross, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So I recently taught that in one of the lessons that I do online, pretty much the way I've always taught it, and it's good. But then the Lord said, next week I want you to teach the rest of it. Or no, he said it. I want you to teach it at a higher level. I said, Lord, I'd be happy to do that. I just don't know what the higher level is. I didn't know, so. He started, like he always does, sending me back, bringing me verses, and having me go back and search the scriptures. And I'm just going to quickly review, because I think we've already had 2 lessons on this, and this might be the 3rd one on the name of Jesus. He took me all the way back, really, to even before the Garden of Eden, and had me do a study on the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ. And, of course, today we would say the number one enemy of Christ is Satan. Satan, though, was not always Satan. If you go back before the garden, even before the creation, he was Lucifer in heaven. And he was very handsome, very beautiful creature. It says he was full of pipes. If you look in the commentaries, it's talking about worship would come up, music. He was created. Got to remember, angels do not procreate. They are created. Okay, they are created full grown. They don't have reproduction parts. Okay. All right. So a lot of your teaching about giants from the Old Testament is wrong. Just know that. Angels did not procreate with women. I don't care who says that. They don't have the equipment for that. So Lucifer was a high, high angel. And it says he was the cherub that covereth. And because of that wording there, it's like an arch. Many think, I couldn't quite prove it, at least if it's there, I haven't found it yet. Many think he was an archangel on the same class, same level with Gabriel and Michael. They're archangels. Very powerful angel. This is not just your normal angel, Lucifer, in the beginning. He is a high up angel with lots of supernatural power. And again, I'm just going to recap a little bit and get to where he wants to go today. But in fact, he was so beautiful and so talented and had such an anointing that it got to him. And it says pride was found in him. And somehow he got it in his mind that he was going to exalt himself above God. I kept asking the Lord, can you give me an analogy of what that's really like? See, because angels are created things. How many knows by default the Creator is greater than the Createe? But this Createe thinks somehow he is going to exalt himself above the throne of the Creator. And I kept saying, Lord, what would be an analogy? How can we relate to that? And the simplest thing he gave me, he says, oh, that'd be like your dog walking in one day could talk to you. So give me the keys to the car. I'm taking over the car. From now on, I'll do all the driving. You sit in the back. Now that's just about how ridiculous. If you don't think pride doesn't make you stupid, think again. But that thought got into the devil, a created being, not even in the same class as God. It's way down. Even though he's an archangel, way down. It's just two different levels completely. But he is a master deceiver. What amazes me, he got a third of the angels to go in rebellion with him. Like we can win. My dog is not getting the keys to my car. I have to, God has to be going. Do they do what in heaven? What? Well, the end result, Lucifer becomes Satan, cast out of heaven. Next time we see him, he's on planet Earth. God made the earth, and we could go all of through Genesis, and everything he made was very good. And then he made Adam, made him in his own image, and from this rib, from the DNA of Adam, he made woman, and he called them both man, Adam and Eve. He called them man, but he said, they're made in my image. Okay? Now you got to understand that something happened when Lucifer became Satan and fell from heaven. He was stripped of a lot of his power right there. Now I'm going to go ahead and fast forward this. See, one angel, you can read it in the Old Testament, one angel, doesn't even call him an archangel, just one angel in the Old Testament, slew in one night 185,000 plus of a certain army. One angel. Now get it straight, one angel can kill human beings. If that means anything, right? But see, Jesus told us Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. Well, why didn't he just murder Cain? If that angel in the Old Testament, one that's not been stripped of his power, if he can kill 185,000 of the army in a single night, it's obvious Satan wants Abel killed, murdered. Well, why doesn't Satan murder him? Because he can't. See, he's been stripped of that kind of power. Again, I'm just following. Jesus said to the Pharisees in the New Testament, you do the deeds of your father. And of course, they didn't believe it. They said, well, our father is God. He said, if your father was God, you'd love me and believe me. No, you are of your father, the devil. And they were murdering through different, they weren't walking up and sticking a knife in people. But through false doctrine, they were extorting, murdering, stealing. We'll go back to the garden again. Why? Well, it's obvious that Satan wanted Abel off the earth. Why didn't he just kill him like the angel that killed 185,000? He couldn't. We've got to understand, even from the beginning, Lucifer was never in the same class as God. And when I say God, I'm saying Jesus right on his right hand. Before he become the Word and after he's still right back where he started, only now his form is changed forever. Now he is merged with you. He is the man, God, the God man. See, we're seated at his level, not at Satan's level. Well, so in order to murder Abel, in order for his deeds to be accomplished, just like Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father. He got Cain to do the deeds of Satan. And Cain murdered Abel. Now after that, you know, when that happened, you talk about a murderer. In that one deception,
Satan murdered an entire species. Because they died, didn't they? Now they died spiritually. He murdered a whole species with a lie. No wonder God, no wonder Jesus says, Father, thy word is truth. See, and if you don't believe the truth, you will believe a lie. Well, through that deception, Adam, you know, Eve was tempted, but Adam sinned. Adam chose. When he chose to believe what Satan said, that means he chose not to believe what God said. So what he's really doing, it's treason. I have a message called The High Treason of Adam. If you never heard it, you ought to hear it. But when he chose to believe and go to what Satan said, thou shalt not surely die, by that action, he called God a liar. That's why it's really dangerous to be moved by what you see. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's word, which means faith in God. Don't be moved by what you see. Be moved by your faith. Be moved by what? Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now there's the life of faith right there. But I don't care. I got it. Again. Okay, so after that judgment, not only did mankind die spiritually, but it corrupted all of nature. It affected the whole universe, if you want to know the truth. Even not just our world, but the entire known, well, even unknown universe. It affected it all. That's why God had to raise up a second man, the last Adam. Jesus Christ, who would die in the place of the first Adam, and I mean the whole species. In God's mind, that species has already died. In God's mind, there's only one king on the planet, and that's Christ in you. Well, getting back to Jesus first humbled himself, left that position at the right hand of God, humbled himself to become, I can't imagine the humbling, the obedience that would take. You talk about having it made in the shade in heaven. No fear, no sickness, no death, no crying, no poverty, no anything. Yet the Father wanted him to come here. Jesus humbled himself and allowed himself to be stripped. Well, it says, really, it wasn't stripped. I like how it says, he emptied himself and became in fashion as a man. What that means is, it doesn't mean he ever was not God. He is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel with us. But he emptied himself of all of his ability to function as God. Became in fashion, found in fashion as a man. But even as a man, then he humbled himself all the way to the obedience of the cross. And because of that, and now God has highly exalted him. See, Jesus himself has been all the way through the glorification process. He's already wearing his glorified body and is seated at the right hand of the Father. If you want to see what he looks like now, you got to read Revelations chapter 1 and look how he appeared to John. And John, if any of the apostles knew Jesus, it was John. John said about himself, I'm the one that he loves. I always wondered what the other apostles thought about that. Now, there's Peter over there, there's James, but I'm the one that he loves. Find out more about that in heaven. But I'm just saying, if anybody knew, John was the one that would rest his head on Jesus' chest sometime and hear the heartbeat of God, you know. Boy, anyway. It gives me chills just to think. I've got a friend, another minister, who says John's going to have to move over. Half of that chest is his. And I told him, you're going to get a third because I'm going to be in there somewhere. Hallelujah. But see, what we don't realize, even after Lucifer was no longer Lucifer and cast down to the earth, and then whatever power he had when he tempted Adam and Eve, he didn't have the power to murder, apparently, directly. But even after that judgment, even after that, there was another judgment. After Adam and Eve sinned and the earth was in that judgment, Satan was stripped again. And now he's brought down. Dave would say it like this. In the King James, it says you're going to have to eat the dust of the earth. And he says, Dave would teach us what that really means is he's being stripped of even more of his power. That he's going to be limited to the things of the earth. He does not have that supernatural power anymore. Now, I do have one verse. Hopefully I'm still cued to it. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Now, this is new. And while you're turning there, I'm going to do a little more review. A little more. So when I was teaching on this before, what he was showing me is how far above Christ is. We because of the battles that we are in, the church has almost put Satan on the same level with Jesus, like it's a warfare between these two. And it's that is just absolutely not the case. Jesus, the God-man, the man-God, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. There is no higher place of authority. There is no higher place of power. And Satan he's no longer an archangel. He's no longer has his supernatural power. He has been stripped of all of his supernatural power. He is limited to the things of the earth. And yet we keep thinking that he's so powerful. And I got to resist in the name of Jesus. Hey, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even before Jesus is glorified, all he does is walk up to the madman of Gadara, and this guy's got like 2,000 devils in him. You know, we know that because like 2,000 pigs ran off the cliff, right? This guy's, can you say packed? This guy is wall-to-wall devils. When those devils see Jesus, all they do, they just see him coming. Now, it says he was already rebuking, but they just see him coming, and those devils are terrified. Have you come to torment us before the time? I'm surprised Jesus didn't go, yes, but... He didn't really torment them, but boy, he cast them out, didn't he? And it didn't matter that there was 2,000 of them. God, he's trying to get us to where we understand we walk at that same level. We are seated within the Spirit. We are seated with him at the right hand of God. And when you walk in the room, devils should tremble in fear. My, my, my. Well, since then, yeah, I've taught that word right up, I think, where we were. Then, during my vacation, during my absence, I still pray what I can, you know. Now he showed me another one. Go to Revelation 20. And I saw, verse 1, I saw an angel. Everyone say, an angel. Does it say archangel? Does it say Jesus? An angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Stop for a minute. Stop. Who's doing this? An angel. Because several of the commentaries, which I don't, but I check them, you know, anyway. Several of the commentaries say that, well, this had to be Jesus. Listen, the person writing this is John the Revelator. John, who's already seen Jesus in chapter 1. And we're in chapter 20 now. And in this vision, all these visions, he has seen Christ more than once. He has seen angels more than once. I believe John knows the difference between Christ and an angel. And I think it's in their own purpose. An angel. Pick one. Pick the least one. Pick any of them that has not been stripped of their power. And any one of them can bind him for 1,000 years. And angels are not on the same class. They are not seated at the right hand of the Father. You are. You are. An angel. Just pick one. Who's strong enough to do the job? Look around to heaven. God's looking around. Well, just pick one. Because I haven't stripped these of their power. I'm going to give that one. We'll just... Joe Angel right there. There he is. Here, Joe, come here. Now, I'm going to give you the key to the bottomless pit. Here's a chain. Go bind the devil for 1,000 years. Yes, sir. Joe Angel. An angel. Dear Lord, now when the Bible says there be more than be with us and be with him. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. I talked too long and it went black. There it is. Okay. First, let's just read it again. It's just too good. I saw an angel. On my printed Bible at home now, I've got quotes there. Make sure I don't forget that. An angel. Come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit. And shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And it's a lesson for another day. The point today is Satan is the least among angels. And demons, the demons or the fallen angels under him, they're under your feet. Yes, sir. Luke 10. Verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Now these are the 72, and these we don't even have the names of these. These are no names. These are not fivefold. These are not apostles or anything. These are not part. No names. Therefore said he unto him, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. In other words, I'll take care of you. Now there's other times later he told another group, take stuff with you. So don't make formulas out of this. Develop a relationship with the Lord. Find out what he's saying to you. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. Now, by the way, whether that's monkey brains and soup, whether it's raw fish in South Korea, whether it's things in your bowl that are still moving. Blessed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And then to whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Now here we go. Does he say, pray for the sick? Thank you. Now he does not say, pray for the sick, does he? Heal the sick that are therein. Say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Now, I am not speaking an opposite message to Allen's this morning. I have done this. In the early days, when I was still in the trucks, I would read these passages and my zeal would rise up. And they had these rest areas going to California. I remember one specific incident. I was just before I got into... Oh, I can't think of the name of that town right now. But anyway, it's the next town I remember is Ludlow. It's roughly 20 miles, and there's not even so much as a water spigot between this rest area and Ludlow. So that's a good place to stop and relieve yourself. So I did that. And on the way back to the truck, just walking out of there, there's a lady in a wheelchair, and I've been meditating the word. And I'm telling you, with I so expected that woman to get out of that chair. Now, she didn't approach me. I approached her. I did exactly what Alan's talking about. This is just one of many cases. We have already paid our dues, haven't we, Alan? We've already found out what doesn't work. But people coming and going didn't matter to me. Lady, do you care if I pray for you? God is going to raise you up out of that chair. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And I believed it. Well, I believe that I believed it. I thought that I believed it. But just like Alan said this morning, if you pray for somebody like that and they don't get out of the chair, they don't get healed. God did not send you. You did that on your own. And that's exactly what I did. And I don't even remember what. I was so embarrassed. I was so surprised that she did not get healed. I felt totally defeated. I should have recorded all the thoughts I had during that next hour driving to Ludlow. You're not even a Christian. You're not saved. You and Sue live too long in the world. God's not forgiving you. You're not even going to heaven. Within the next hour after that failure, the devil had me going to hell. I felt like such a failure. And I'm sure I hurt that. I mean, she was not better off when I prayed for her. She's worse off. Because she had to be thinking the same thoughts. Well, why wouldn't God heal me? That guy obviously believes God would, but God didn't. Doesn't he love me? I must be no good. She probably wound up in her thinking in hell too. So I'm not coming against, I don't want you to think I'm against what Alan's teaching at all. What I'm for is the message of the prayer center. That there is a metamorphosis possible. Where all of us caterpillars can go through that process and come out as butterflies. Transformed into the image of Christ and able to do the same works. Amen? But that doesn't take away. We're never going to get there if we lower the bar. So we have to keep preaching the bar and leave it right where Jesus put it. Because when he says, when he sends out his laborers into the field, what does he tell them? Heal the sick. Don't just pray for them. Heal them. He wouldn't say anything different to me today if he knew I was driving to that same truck stop and that woman was there. He would still tell me, heal the sick, because that's the truth. My job is to conform to it to where I really believe it. Okay. And say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, but into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not. Go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Well, that's pretty. Now see, what we've done, they didn't receive my testimony, my ministry, my preaching about Jesus. I'm going to wipe the dust of that city right off of my feet. Problem is, did you heal the sick? Did you sow them something or just tell them something? Did you do what Jesus said? In another place it says, heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. Did you do that, church? If you didn't, you sure don't have any right to be wiping the dust of that city off your feet. You haven't even preached the gospel yet. See, Jesus said, this gospel shall be preached unto all the world. This gospel, the one that he preached, and he did it in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Now he goes on here to the woes, but let's come to Luke 10:17 for sake of time. So these 70, they go out, the return of the 72, so I guess there's 72 of them. These 72 go out, and they do what Jesus said, and they come back, and now he wants a report. So this verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Can you hear the surprise in that verse? It's almost like, Lord, are you aware? We were shocked. Are you shocked? The devils are subject unto us through your name. Say it with me. The devils are subject to me through his name. The devils are subject to me through his name. I did a word study years ago on that where it says are subject, and it simply means they have to obey what you say. They have to. You're the one in authority there. Now Jesus, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And you can preach that two different ways. One of them that's the most common is, yes, I saw in the spirit while you were out there ministering, and I saw everywhere that you went, I saw Satan falling from heaven, like, you know, could be. But I honestly think what he was saying there, he's going all the way back to pre-Genesis. Because if you look up that word heaven, it's the same word that Paul used when he said, I was caught up to the third heaven. Same word. Jesus is going, see, this is just almost funny to me because of the dog in the car. See, what this means to me now is like, they're just astonished that the devils are subject to them through his name. And he's going, why are you so surprised? I saw that dude. I saw him kicked out of heaven before the creation of the world. He has been stripped of his authority. Of course he's subject to you, just like your dog is subject to you. That's really why he's saying, verse 19, he said, behold, I give unto you power. Now that's the word authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now get this, and over all the power, that's dunamis, of the enemy. All of it. Say it with me. All of it.
All of it.
And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Devils have no power to hurt you. If they try to hurt you, they got to come through some person. Some way had to come through Cain to kill Abel. Same way these same ones that he's preaching to here, they're going to wind up murdering Jesus. He has to do it through them. Thank God Jesus didn't stay dead. So to him, it's like this is almost a no-brainer is the reason he words it. See, verse 20, the way it's been preached traditionally, it's almost taken away some of the power because he says, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And it's almost like, see, you need to focus on the new birth and not the devils. But Jesus sent them out to cast out devils. He sent them out to heal the sick. Same mission he did. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And really the reason he's saying it the way he does, it's like, why are you so astonished that this created creature and the ones under him that has been stripped of authority, stripped of power, stripped of authority, stripped of power more than once, why are you surprised those devils are subject to you in my name? Because they're not even in the same class. They're not. It's creator and createe. What I want you to rejoice in, and of course at that moment that it was prophetic to us, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Well, that is number one, to be born again. I don't want to cast out devils on earth and go to hell at the end, do you? No, it is number one. The prophet Isaiah, and I didn't bring it with me, but the prophet Isaiah, maybe I did, just a minute. See if I have it with me or not. Nope. You'll have to look it up for yourself. Homework. You can look up the word narrowly in a King James Bible and find it real easy. Because it says the day is going to come when Satan is bound in that bottomless pit. It says the days are going to come when we get to walk by and look at him. It says we're going to narrowly look on him, which means like And it goes something like this. I'm paraphrasing. No, that can't be. That creature that's bound right there, one angel bound him. No, no, that can't be the one that destroyed the nations. That can't be him. Look at that pitiful creature. And I was this time when I was going through that, and I was thinking, all the people that are already in hell who served Satan, aren't they going to be horrified when they see their king bound in heaven, just like when they see their king bound in hell, same place they are, and they find out their king was no king at all? Now, really, this is the compliment to Alan's message, because these kind of understandings have to become normal to us. We are seated in Christ at the right hand of God. Not just above. Far above every name that is named. I also had time during the last 2 weeks to blow the dust off of my Smith Wigglesworth books. I read that story again. I think Alan alluded to it a week or two ago. And this was while Smith, he wasn't even in full-time ministry yet. He was still a plumber. But he got appendicitis. Now today, we do not associate appendicitis with devils, do we? Do we at all? I don't think you'll ever go to a doctor, any modern doctor, with appendicitis, and they go, you got a devil. But appendicitis is what Smith had. And he had refused to go to the doctor, and it actually had gangrened on him. It had gangrened on him. So when the doctor finally did come and they saw the situation, he says, he won't even survive a trip to the hospital. He waited too late. This is impossible. Smith has to die. Well, that's a pretty bad diagnosis. So Smith is laying there after the doctor leaves, and this couple comes. It's a woman and a young man. I don't know much about them. He doesn't say much about them. But they come in, and where is he? And well, he's upstairs in the bed. And we'll try and word this the way Smith did it. So this man and the woman come into my room, this man immediately jumps on the bed, and before I can tell him that I don't have a devil, he cast out the devil out of me. And I rose up healed. So healed, I went downstairs and said, has any work orders come in? Well, yeah, we've got some plumbing business here for you. Okay, he grabbed the first one, grabbed his tools, and left. Later on, the doctor came by to check on him again and said, where is he? Well, he went to work. He'll never make it home alive. I have been over that in my mind over and over and over again, because in our modern thinking, we would never cast out a devil to heal appendicitis. Yet, obviously. So in that same lesson, maybe not that same, in one of the readings I did this week, with that in my mind, Smith Wigglesworth says, people accuse me of equating every sickness with the devil. He says, I'll just reply like this. You are never wrong. You are never wrong to equate sickness with the devil. Cast it out. Treat it like it has a personality. Talk to it. Command it to go, because it is subject unto you. He had a revelation of the authority really and power that he had when he spoke in the name of Jesus. And he learned it from that. We don't even know the young man's name. Probably lost the history. We'll probably never know. Would it never have been Smith Wigglesworth Ministries had it not been for that old woman and young man? And we don't even know their names. How many thousands are in heaven because they obeyed God and cast that devil out of him? Smith never did go to the doctor to have the appendix. Anything done with the appendix? When the devil left, the sickness left. Dear Lord, we have something to learn. See, I'd rather listen to men that made it work than all these ones that tell you it won't work. I like reading after those guys. Yes, sir. You know, again, I've mentioned this in previous messages too, and I'm not going to keep you long today. But he's not through with that teaching that he began in me called Be Salt. Remember when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth? The reason America is in the trouble it's in today is the church did not know what that meant. And he started explaining to me by showing me a vision. My wife is a great cook. People that don't even like turkey, they like Sue's turkey. Angie is a great cook. She makes her turkeys now. Excellent turkey. You say, I don't like turkey. I bet you'd like Angie's. Good. But in this vision, it happened to be Sue, because I've watched her prepare those turkeys to go into the oven. It's a process. First, you got to thaw the thing out. Then you got to take out the stuff that's in there. And then the seasonings come. And boys, there's this and that and this and that and all the rubbing and get it all and the whole turkey. But in this vision, I saw her just salting one turkey leg. One turkey leg was well salted. Rest of the bird, no salt. That's a bird you're not going to like. Everybody be fighting over one leg. And he said, that's what the church has done. They've holed up in churches and salted themselves and let America go without my gospel. And again, this goes right along with Alan's message. Most people equate promotion to pulpit ministry. And that's not at all what Jesus meant. No, you're to be salt. You're to bring the life and the flavor of Christ out into the world. If there are 10 people on a job, let's say a factory job, they're just making trash bags. Okay? They're just making, on an assembly line, 10 of them, they're making trash bags. And not one of them is a Christian. But they have a layoff. Or somebody, let's just say one of them retires. And you get hired into place. You're the only Christian. 1 Christian, 9 unbelievers. Jesus is trusting you to be the salt. Now, it doesn't mean you have to pass out tracts to them every day. It doesn't mean you have to even beat them over the head with scriptures every day. I like what one minister said many centuries ago. It says, preach the gospel every day. When necessary, use words. You got to live they've got to see a different life in you than what's in them. See, that flavorful turkey leg is what, I want more turkey. Well, they need to get a taste of Christ in you. And then they're going to want more. They're going to want the gospel. Eventually, they're going to ask you. They're going to start coming to you. I like how Alan says, and I don't mean to get him in trouble, but he's like the pastor. What do you call it? The rehabilitation place, the training place where you go and they're helping with the physical things. Well, slowly, I mean, obviously, Alan is not an evangelist. We have those. Red's an evangelist. Okay. But Alan, he's like a slow burn pastor. You know, you give him 6 months with people. He'll get them all born again. Or they'll all start going to a church, or the vast majority. But it's a slow burn. It takes a while. But see, wherever he goes, even if it's a secular rehabilitation, I mean, they're good people. They're trying to help people and help them get back on their feet and everything. But if they're lost, they're lost. A doctor who's lost is just as lost as a wino on the street that's lost. It doesn't matter. Well, when he sends... You know, and God did not put this on Alan in order to season that place. Okay? It's just whatever happens in life, wherever you are, be salt. Be light. So I don't know how many people worked there, but Alan was the salt. And before it's over, they want him to be the speaker of that graduating class. That's, yes, sir. A good example from my life. Sue and I were heathen to the core. When we were in the real estate business, we were making good money. We had people admired our marriage. Even back then, they would say, we want our marriage to be like you guys. And we were trying. I don't think we'd have made it at all without Jesus for 45 years. But we dressed right, and we had money, and we had brand new cars, and we had a house in the right part of town, and everything was going pretty good. Trouble, only one trouble, lost as we could be. Worked hard and played hard. I was a semi-functional alcoholic for many years. I didn't do anything so illegal as to go to prison, but I walked that line as close as I could because I was out to get your money. Tell you right now, I had a magic trick for you. Show you how your money can become my money. Magic man. And y'all just don't even know who Jesus started with, I'm telling you. But God sent salt in there in the form of Michael Muccio. Now, we did have one believer in the place named Jean Kreiner. I think she's probably surely gone on to be with the Lord now. If you haven't, I love you, and I'm sorry I said that. Jean Kreiner now was she was not ashamed of the gospel. She was probably twice our age at the time. And just to give you an idea who Jean Kreiner was, before I got saved, I used to have these migraine headaches that would you ever seen the Looney Tunes at the end, you know, and the black circle thing closes? That's the way it would be. And it would just, I would get tunnel vision, and it was like it's just black. And I mean, I couldn't function. And one day I was sitting in the lobby of the real estate office, I couldn't do anything in my office. I just come out there where there's a little more light, and I'm just sitting there holding my head, and Jean Kreiner comes walking by. And she said, are you having another one of those headaches? I said, oh, Jean, it's just killing me. Just killing me. She said, do you mind if I pray for you? And I was raised Baptist, okay? I'm thinking when she gets home and when she thinks of me, she'll offer up a nice little prayer to Jesus, you know, Lord, or would you? You know, that's what I'm thinking. She says, do you mind if I pray for you? I said, Jean, if you think it'll help, yeah, yes, pray for me. Well, she had another way of praying. She come right over, put her hand right on my head. Now, in the lobby of the real estate office, and the girls on the phone are going, and Sue was one of them. I command you, foul spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, you come out of him, and don't you ever go into her again. She took her hand off, went, that did it, and went on out to her car. And we're all like, and then I went, wait, it's gone. It's gone. And to this day, I've never had one of those again. I've never had one again. Now that got my attention. See, and that happened before Michael Muccio came. Because Gene was always preaching to us. Anyway, I could have Gene stories. We could be here another hour. Love that woman. Now, we tried to avoid her pretty much then. Well, we did. So anyway, here comes Michael along. And I've told you, I'm just not going to belabor the story. He comes in as salt. See, and he's wanting to teach the Richer Life course. He had been through Zig Ziglar's training program. I knew who Zig was. He was a motivational speaker, good Christian man, but a motivational speaker. And so I basically hired Michael, as you know, to teach the Richer Life course to our agents. I had 60 agents under me. And Michael did a good job. Now, he didn't lie to us. He taught the Richer Life course, and he taught it well. But what he did do, he would throw in, I call them now, little commercials for God. Now, if you can picture 60 agents, we're in a class, and Michael's teaching, and he'll give us a real good one, something from Zig Ziglar. Sorry, I'm getting the Dave anointing, got a Puma. Well, that's a good confession. I'm getting the Dave. I'll take all of the Dave anointing I can get. But anyway, I know it's the Holy Ghost. Don't write me no letters. So Michael did what he said he would do, and he taught the Richer Life course, but he would teach something really good. Now, here's 60 agents, okay? He would teach something really good, and we'd all go, man, yeah, that is good. And then he'd throw in his commercial. He said, well, you know, Zig Ziglar, it is good, but he said Zig Ziglar didn't originate that. That's a God idea. That That's as old as the Bible. And we go, what? Well, he just turned to Proverbs or Psalms or wherever it was, you know, and show us that principle out of the Bible. It did get our attention. What's he doing? Salting. He's salting, see. Now, long story short, where he finally got me, of course, you've got to remember, I had a drug problem as a little boy. I got drugged to church Sunday morning. I got drugged to church Sunday night. I got drugged to church Wednesday night. I grew up in church, is what I'm saying. So he said, he taught this principle. He said, you know, God himself, he wants every one of you to be blessed financially, to be healthy, and to have a really sound and content mind. And I went, Michael, that's the same things I want. How can you say something like that? If there's a verse like that in the Bible, surely I would have heard it growing up all those years in church. But he just took his Bible, opened it, handed it to me. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I went like this. What kind of Bible is this? King James. Same kind I'd always been around my whole life. And he said, Gary, I said, I have to confess, I absolutely did not know that was in the Bible. He said, Gary, there's probably a lot of things you don't know are in the Bible. And real gently, he didn't do it sarcastic. He said, real gently, he said, now I teach a Bible study at my apartment complex in the club room every Thursday night. If you want to come, it's free, you know. Well, he had me there. You know the story. We started going. And if I do anything, I jump in with both feet. And 6 months later, he had sown enough of the word. I got salted. Now, out of the 60, and I hope my numbers are still pretty correct. Again, this happened over 40 years ago. I think, if I remember right, roughly 25 out of the 60 got saved. 25 out of the 60. I took a survey many years later. The married couples that were still together, because some of them were married then, you know. The only ones who were still together, the only ones, were the ones who had gotten saved in that Bible study. All the rest of them had got divorced. Now, some of them got divorced that did go to the Bible study. But there was none of them still together that did not go. See, salt. Now that started affecting Sue and I in every way possible. In our lives, now we become salt. I'm being salt today. It just so happened in my case, he did call me to a pulpit ministry. But see, what if he hadn't? What if I'm still out on the road driving those trucks, which I tell him all the time, I'm still able. I love that job. I love this job too. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be salt in the trucking world. Everyone that I meet, everywhere I go, salt, 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 salt. If they don't see something different in me than what's in them, they're not going to want what I have. Well, listen, if all you ever eat is the bland turkey, you take one bite out of that salted leg turkey, you're going to want that kind. See, and we've got to have enough salt in us where it makes people want what we have. But you got to be willing to share. You're not an evangelist, but you're salt. Amen? You might be an evangelist. Now, I want to do a little salting on the online right now. This also is for here, too. I know pretty much everybody here, not every single person. But listen, if you're here today or you're watching, whether it's today or sometime in the future, if you don't know for sure that you're born again, that you're a born-again child of God, that can be rectified in the next 2 or 3 minutes. Because Jesus said salvation comes with great assurance. You can know and know that you know, and they can't beat it out of you with rifle butts, as Pastor Dave used to say. And the message is simple. Jesus is the Son of God. He never committed sin. He came to earth as a man, never committed sin. Yet he became the Lamb of God. He died, even though he was sinless. He died in your place to pay the price for your sin and to give you the opportunity to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And you literally get born again. You get a new spirit from Christ on the inside of you. And it empowers you to change your life. And Romans 10 says, I've sinned too much. I don't think he'll take me. Listen, Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, it also says in Romans 10 that if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, why is that important? He raised him from the dead because the price had been paid. See, it shows your faith. If God raised him from the dead, then the price has been paid. You've been set free. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and say with your mouth that he's your Lord. And none of us know exactly what all that means when we start, but you surrender to him is what it means. It says if you'll do that, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, say with your mouth he is your Lord, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Now, most people in this room are already saved, but we're going to say the sinner's prayer with you. Now, you got to mean it from your heart. Aren't you tired of living without him? Aren't you tired? Boy, I got so tired. I know what it is to be lost. I know what it is to be lost. And you can be very successful in the world and be so lost. I was. But I know now what it is to be found. I know what it is to be born again. And there is no comparison between the two. The first path leads to eternal separation from God. The second path leads to always being in eternity with him. Say this if you want to be born again and know it for sure. Say this with me. Let's all say it together. Say, Father, I've heard your gospel today. I know that Jesus is your Son. He is the spotless Lamb. I know that He died in my place. The punishment that I deserved, He took it upon Himself. Father, forgive me. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me a brand new creature. I believe with all my heart you've been raised from the dead. And from this day forward, you are my Lord. Whatever you say, that's what I do. Now I thank you, Lord, that I have called upon the name of Jesus. I am a whosoever, and I am saved. And I thank you that I'm saved. Now, Father, I'm asking to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord, to the brim, overflowing. And I expect to speak with other tongues as you give the utterance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The kingdom of God is available. Kingdom of God is available. In every area of your life, He'll help you with your children. He'll help you with your finances. He'll help you with your body if you need healing. But He also needs us to surrender to Him. He has a calling and a place for you in the body. Surrender to Him. Seek Him with all your heart. You'll find Him. And He'll lead you into His perfect will for your life. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, God bless you. Welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah. We are going to have Calling in the Lost tonight at 7. And the church is open for prayer. Wednesday noon to 8:30. Friday noon to 8:30. Saturday 7 in the morning till noon. It's wonderful. Come early so you can be sure and get a chair. Some of them are listening, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't forget, this is a revival of presence. Just turn your heart towards Him again just for a moment. Let's just make sure. I want to make sure He's through. We love You, Lord. A little louder, Brenda, if you can. See, there's that presence again. Can you feel that? Let's stand again for a moment. Everybody stand just for a moment. We love You, Lord. We're going to finish like we started, Lord. We love You, Lord, and we praise You. We worship You. We magnify You, Lord. We glorify You. We love You. We praise You. We praise You. Glory, 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 glory to Your name. We worship You, Lamb of God. We worship You, Lamb of God. We worship with our understanding. We sing with our understanding. We sing with our spirit, Lord. We love You, Lord. We bless Your name, Lord. Oh, we love You, Lord. Oh, we love You, Lord. Now, Stacy's going to use her voice where you don't have to listen to me. Let's just go out this way. Listen, if you need healing, just receive it now in your body. If you need a word from Him, listen. He will speak to you. Receive. Let's worship Him in spirit and in truth. Stacy, go ahead. Father, most of all, we love You. Hallelujah.